HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz. Furious Israelis are putting more pressure on the government to end the war in Gaza and bring the hostages home. The latest from reporter Linda Grantstein in Jerusalem.
After the bodies of six Israeli hostages were found in a tunnel in Gaza, more than 300,000 Israelis came to Tel Aviv demanding a ceasefire deal to bring the remaining hostages home. Yair Keshet, whose nephew Yardane Bibas is one of the hostages, spoke at the rally.
There is no time.
There are still 101 hostages in Gaza, although at least 34 have been declared dead. A general strike shut down large parts of the Israeli economy today, and activists blocked roads as more demonstrations are planned.
One of the six murdered hostages was Israeli-American Hirsch Goldberg Polan. His father, John Hirsch Goldberg Polan, spoke last night in Central Park in New York.
Hirsch was alive, and now we know that other five hostages were alive too. None of this had to happen.
An estimated 10,000 hotel employees in at least eight cities across the country have checked out, and they say they're not going to check back in unless they get a raise. This striker in Seattle says people just don't want to work in hotels.
The wages, the pay is not enough to really draw people in.
The weather this Labor Day is going to be great or not so great. It depends, says CBS News Philadelphia meteorologist Andrew Kozak.
As we head into Texas, this is where we have a front that will move through for Labor Day and kind of stall out for Tuesday into Wednesday. This is going to cause some flooding issues, all eyes on Texas this week. On the flip side, we have some fire danger and very dry conditions in the West and the Rockies. This is going to be an issue for us with dry conditions, thunderstorms that can spark some fires, and winds over 45 miles per hour.
One tough rookie, San Francisco 49ers wide receiver Ricky Pearsall, is out of the hospital now after being shot in the chest Saturday afternoon in San Francisco. This witness heard gunshots.
Bah, 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 bah. And then in my head I was like, oh, maybe it's fireworks or something like that. Within 2 minutes, 3 minutes, and then the police came.
Police say a 17-year-old suspect's been arrested. Two hospitals in Massachusetts have abruptly closed after the company that owned them declared bankruptcy in May. Massachusetts Congresswoman Lori Trahan.
We're talking to everybody under the sun that can restore services to this region.
Steward Healthcare began as a private equity venture in 2010, but investors pulled out of the operation in 2020. In the U.S., the markets are closed for the Labor Day holiday. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. It really does feel like we're the center of the presidential election here in the Badger State. This week, we had a visit from President Donald Trump in La Crosse, and then his running mate for Vice President J.D. Vance was in De Pere, and then the Democrats will be back here next week. Democratic vice presidential nominee Tim Walz will be in Milwaukee on Monday, and President Joe Biden will be in southwestern Wisconsin on Tuesday. And expect some heavier traffic this weekend, of course. Domestic travel is expected to be 9% higher than it was last year. And a gallon of gas is 34 cents cheaper than last year, too. AAA says the busiest times on the road are Friday afternoon. Luckily, that's behind us now. And all day Monday, so just be ready to be patient. Airports are also expected to be swamped. Enjoy, and wherever you're going, whatever you're doing, please be safe on this long weekend. That's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. This is Civic Media News.
The Brewers blank the Giants. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with sports. Milwaukee's Aaron Civale and Aaron Ashby combined for a two-hit shutout to give the Brewers a series win over San Francisco. Manager Pat Murphy said the key was getting production with two outs.
We didn't add on a couple times today that I thought we had some opportunities, but all the damage we did was with two outs, right? Again, you know, like two outs, nobody on. And just a simple little walk.
The Brewers piled up 8 hits in the 6-0 victory. Now the Brewers turn the page to a doubleheader Friday against the Cincinnati Reds in Ohio, where temperatures are expected to be around 100 degrees. The Wisconsin Badgers kick off their football season tonight against Western Kentucky at 8 p.m. It's the second year of the Luke Fickell era after going 7-6 a year ago. You can hear the Badgers tonight on our Civic Media stations WRJN, WRCE, WFHR, and WLAK, or on the free Civic Media app. For Civic Media Sports, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Weather is sponsored by Peck Roofing Inc., veteran and locally owned and operated. Learn more online at peckroofinginc.com.
It is going to be a really nice Labor Day today. Mostly sunny, 74 this afternoon. The wind out of the south at only around 5. Tonight, clear, 52. Tomorrow, sunshine, 76. Then on Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high right around 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a special Labor Day edition of the show. We'll look back at Wisconsin history and Labor Day. Be with us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Tuesday morning, August 27th, 2024. It's another beautiful morning here across Wisconsin to have you here up north from wherever you're listening on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're on the Civic Media app or through social media or on demand by podcast. Nice to have you along. I got a question for you, mostly a question for, well, Greg as well, but here's my question for you. Aren't BLTs the best? I had a bacon, lettuce, tomato sandwich for dinner last night, and it's the perfect light summer sandwich. Here with an opposing viewpoint. Here with an opposing viewpoint is Greg Buck.
Disgusting.
Okay, that's enough of that. We apparently ignited something yesterday with Greg's hot take that he is not a fan of what you lovingly refer to as the trash sandwich.
Yes.
That is the BLT, which coincidentally was happening as it was planned in the Kreitlow kitchen last night. And I have to say, maybe it was just spite I was tasting, but it was one of the most delicious BLTs we've ever made.
You posted on Twitter about it. It was a spite sandwich. Okay, please don't. There's no such thing as a delicious BLT.
Oh, come on. Where did this start?
Because it's a salad. That's all it is. It's a salad held together by two big croutons. That's it. Because it's lettuce, tomato, and bacon.
Yeah,
that's it. That's not a
sandwich. What good meat sandwich isn't meat with some lettuce and tomato?
But bacon's barely a meat for a sandwich. Like, you put bacon on the sandwich, it's an addition. It's not the main. It's not the star of the show. It's a feature player on SNL at best.
Oh, I can't believe a red-blooded American male is saying this about bacon.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't love bacon as much as everybody else does, apparently. I think bacon's fine. It does its job. It's, you know, it's a carcinogen. But the point is, and here's the other thing, too, Pat. I'll just say this very quickly, and then, you know, I'll only talk about this later today and then during the show, Matt Naranair, and probably to myself, to the dog. But people will say, like, well, you know what you do is you throw an egg on there. Well, then that's just an egg sandwich then with some bacon. That's not a BLT. Oh, you put some avocado. That's not a BLT then. That is a different sandwich when you add a fourth letter. So when you just give me bacon, lettuce, and tomato. Okay, cool. Why did you stop there? Why did you, did you run out of ingredients?
We could just do this all day with whether something is a sandwich or is not a sandwich.
Based on
Greg's point of view.
Yes. I accept that it's a sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
I accept that fact.
Mm-hmm.
But I do not accept that it's a good sandwich or a filling sandwich. Take a BLT, cut it in four pieces, put it on a plate, and if you serve that as an appetizer, okay, here we go. Get me started. Then we're going to order our entree. But you expect me to eat that as, like, the meal? Get out of my house.
Here's what else is coming up this morning on Up North News Radio. We talked to Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren while she was barnstorming across Wisconsin yesterday on behalf of Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. And so we talk a bit about her advice to Wisconsin Democrats when it comes to running and talking about the past 4 years in terms of accomplishments. We also ask her about J.D. Vance's recent claim that Donald Trump would veto a national abortion ban if such a bill reached his desk. Meanwhile, we'll talk about Donald Trump shamelessly using Arlington National Cemetery to politicize American troops killed in Afghanistan. In our second hour, it is just about harvest time in Wisconsin, and it looks to be another healthy crop for cranberries in a state that overwhelmingly grows the most. We'll look at the impact of the industry on the state economy. Also, it looks like American agriculture dodged a bullet from up in Canada, where a massive railroad strike, it looks like it won't happen after all, something that could have had a huge impact on Wisconsin exports. And it reminds us to take note that railroad workers in the U.S. Also narrowly avoided a strike, but I don't know that enough people have done the follow-up to tell you that since that time, railroad workers in the U.S. have won some big victories at the bargaining table. So we'll cover that and much more today, along with your texts, phone calls, questions, comments at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can watch Up North News Radio on our Facebook page for Up North News, the Facebook page for Civic Media, and also the YouTube page for Up North News. And if you put something in the comment section there, we will see it and potentially put it up on screen and respond to it, or you can email us, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. And please don't forget about that Civic Media app. It is a great way to listen to us live or find a station that's near you, learn more about the shows that you can listen to. You can go to the website, civicmedia.us, for podcast links and much more. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot will be here in under an hour now. Tell us about round two of thunderstorms that are just moving into Wisconsin right now. The radar shows that a line of heavy rain and thunder, lots of lightning, just now crossing into St. Croix, Polk, and Pepin counties, Pierce County. There's also a thin line of thunderstorms that has just formed basically between Wausau and Marquette. And then there was that massive system that has finally moved out now and is moving across lower Michigan. But it was, boy, was it. It was, Greg, how do we describe yesterday? I mean, is steamy enough? And I don't know, maybe it wasn't by you, but with a heat index reading approaching 110 in the La Crosse area, it was a little toasty.
Oh, it was just, it was gross. It was really hot down. We would only let Maybell out for like a minute till she'd go to the bathroom and come right back in. And it was, no, I don't. And this morning when I left the house, it was 81 degrees.
Just yeah.
At least give me like 70 degrees in the early, early morning and then it can get hotter. But like when you walk out, I've said this before, it's dark outside and it's hot. You're like, that's not fair. That's not fair.
Anyway. It's kind of like the last blast, basically, yeah. Because I mean, Labor Day's coming. It's apparently going to be back in the 70s next week for highs. And it's extremely rare to do this, you know, mid-90s stuff after that. So this might be it, and hopefully so. There was a guy with one of those lawn care places going by as I was getting the garbage cans, and my glasses were fogging up when I stepped outside.
Yeah.
That thing that only happens in the wintertime on the cold days happened on one of the hot days. And this poor fella is like, yeah, I've got to do, you know, 18 lawns or whatever it is. So
no.
I hope he and I hope Rob and Tigerton and everybody else stayed very well hydrated.
I have a question for Rob. He can answer down the road when he gives us his weather report. Mm-hmm. Is there too hot for him where he says, I can't do the lawns today. It's just too hot. Can't, I got to take care of myself. That's what question for Rob. He can answer whenever he wants. That's all I want to know. because I want to know he's taking care of himself.
Right. Well, so would I. But I also know that some people would write in that their answer is, well, only if I can still pay the rent. You know, some people feel like they don't have a choice.
Yeah, I guess.
They got to make the money. It's very unfortunate. So, everybody stay hydrated and everything for one more day. And then hopefully we'll get a nice cool down after that. You can get our daily newsletter at Up North News. Sign up at our website, upnorthnewswi.com. And in today's edition, in case you missed our conversation earlier on the radio, a Wisconsin woman went through quite an ordeal when she endured a catastrophic pregnancy and required abortion care late in that pregnancy, including having to go through, you know, a mob yelling at her to go through this tragic situation. Well, now she's trying to grow her family through IVF and is once again facing the wrath of a political class that wants to tell her what she can and can't do. So we've got that story in our newsletter. Now, we also have a link to a past radio segment where we discussed how Project 2025 is killing school lunches for a lot of children if it were to pass, if it were to be implemented. And Christina Laurie has a story about why now is the time to head to pumpkin farms, not necessarily for the pumpkins, they might not be ready yet, but for sunflowers and wagon rides and music and all kinds of things to do on a nice weekend. So look for those ideas and more in our newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. All right, now we've already spoken at length yesterday about former President Trump coming to the La Crosse area on Thursday night, which somebody said, Greg, I don't remember if this was during the show or after the show, that's also move-in day. Oh, it was after the show. Yeah, apparently that's also move-in day Thursday at UW La Crosse. And so that is going to be one crazy busy campus on Monday.
Given there are going to be a lot of upset fathers.
Yes, there are. We're in a parking spot, you know. And if anybody who's working for the college Democrats or college Republicans, boy, they start their school year off, you know, strong out of the gates. So it's going to be busy. So we've talked about that, but also J.D. Vance is now coming back to Wisconsin as well. He is scheduling a visit to De Pere tomorrow. And it has been said that the visit will be about the economy, inflation, and energy. And all I'm going to say about that is, again, much like Eric Hovde's campaign, if all you're going to say is the economy is bad, inflation is terrible, excuse me, and energy is expensive, and you got nothing else to say in terms of what are you going to do about it, then I think you may be wasting your time. I mean, traditionally, sad to say, it's often been enough for a candidate to just complain about something. And if you complain about it enough, people go, yeah, he's right or she's right. I'm unhappy about this too. And my hope is that the voters are a little bit more savvy in terms of recognizing that somebody is complaining, but not actually proposing anything. And that has been Trump's big thing. I went back and looked at his remarks from this past weekend at an event. And again, he just keeps saying things will go back to how they were when I was president, which first off, really? But second, how are you going to do that, cowboy? You can't just say things are going to go back to how they were. That's a promise that you, well, not only can't keep, you don't even know why you're saying that because you have no idea. But listen to see if there's any details from Vance or Trump in this week's visits. We'll talk more about the news next, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Tuesday morning. When you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Don't give up on us, baby. We're still worth one more try. I know we put a last one by. Just for the rainy evening, when maybe stars are few.
Pat, you're muted.
Don't give up on us, I know.
Oh, hi, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing great. I just muted myself. Professional radio.
Oh, lordy.
Professional radio.
We so both need a holiday weekend.
Are you listening, WBA? We'll tear her award right now.
And hit stop on the recorder and turn that baby in. Just drop that into a manila envelope. We are good to go.
Okay, well, we're back. Pat, how you doing?
All right. I'm good. Let me tell you about David Soule, since I just gave his whole life story there. From Starsky and Hutch, passed away this past January. Born on this day. We'll cover that in today's history lesson coming up in just a bit. I wasn't looking at my mute button because I realized I didn't have the Brewer's notes in front of me, and I was going over and getting those while talking about David Soule. Multitasking, and telling you that things were looking pretty good for the Brewers last night. They came back to take the lead over the San Francisco Giants in the sixth inning off a Willie Adames home run. But the Giants' Mike Yastrzemski, yes, the grandson of Carl Yastrzemski, Boston Red Sox legend, Mike hit a two-run homer in the seventh to give San Francisco the lead and the win 5-4. Earlier in the game, Jackson Churio hit an absolute bomb in the second inning. Hit it off the scoreboard, estimated distance 449 feet. Only four other players in the past 10 seasons have hit homers that far. The two teams will go at it again tonight, same time, 7:10. Pregame at 6:35 on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and Oshkosh. They then will do it again tomorrow afternoon to wrap up that series, before the Brewers head to Cincinnati for the weekend, and that will include a Friday doubleheader to make up for an earlier weather postponement. So four games in 3 days coming up in Cincinnati for the weekend for the Milwaukee Brewers. Former President Donald Trump, congratulations to him. He's been indicted yet again, this time again in the federal January 6th case. But with a narrowing of the charges, and I would add a slight narrowing of the charges, in light of the right-wing justices on the U.S. Supreme Court granting a president out of thin air a broad immunity from conduct that happens in what he believes are his official duties as president. Well, Special Counsel Jack Smith took a look at that, pared a few things back, and then filed a new indictment on Tuesday against Trump over his efforts to undo the 2020 presidential election. It keeps the same criminal charges intact, but removes a section that had accused Trump of trying to use the law enforcement powers of the Justice Department to overturn his election loss. Now, that actually troubles me a bit because, and we said this after the Supreme Court ruling, when these conservative justices said, well, if a president believes he's doing something in the course of his official duties, then he's immune from prosecution. I mean, it's like they forgot about Watergate entirely. The whole point of having an independent judiciary is so that a president cannot weaponize law enforcement for his political purposes. And that's the part that's now been removed from the case against Trump, even though the Supreme Court, in so many words, is saying, well, presidents from now on, if they want to use the Department of Justice, you know, as a tool to go after their enemies, they can. Okay, so it's been removed, but nevertheless, there's still plenty to work with here in terms of what Trump did to try to overturn the 2020 election and try to overturn the will of the voters. And thankfully, there is still a case here. It won't be adjudicated before the election is over. But just the same, it stands to reason that a guy who is on tape telling the Georgia Secretary of State, I need you to find so many votes, and who has everything else that the January 6th committee has found out, still needs to go to trial. And it will. In the meantime, Trump is somehow, inexplicably, still the nominee of a major American party. And on Monday, he went to Arlington National Cemetery and did a photo op using the deaths of American service members for political purposes. He went there ostensibly to honor 13 who were killed in the waning days of the conflict in Afghanistan. Although he has no record of honoring others who were killed in battle, but is using this particular attack as a political attack on the Biden-Harris administration. We wondered how in the world did Arlington National Cemetery staff allow this to happen? It turns out they knew that it shouldn't happen. They tried to prevent it from happening, but as first reported by National Public Radio, two members of Trump's team had a verbal and physical altercation with an official at Arlington National Cemetery. A source with knowledge of the incident said the cemetery official tried to prevent Trump staffers from filming and doing photography in a section where recent U.S. casualties are buried. The source said Arlington officials had made clear only cemetery staff members would be authorized to take photographs or film in that area of the cemetery, Section 60. When the cemetery official tried to prevent Trump campaign staff from entering Section 60, campaign staff verbally abused and pushed the official aside. Now, again, what I'm about to say next may sound disingenuous, but trust me, it is sincere. Any other politician, who tried to do that at Arlington National Cemetery, it would be an immediate campaign killer. Nobody does that. No normal person does that. No normal campaign does that. Donald Trump somehow continues to get a pass on these things for mocking the dead, for speaking ill of men of soldiers who are captured and held prisoners of war, for mocking the disabled, a whole host of other things that would have killed any other candidacy. Donald Trump, by playing the role of, you know, blusterous bully, enough people seem to look up to that and want to give him a pass on it. And I think that what happened on Monday, he was all set. It was just going to be another day in the news cycle and have no legs whatsoever. Thankfully, a report has been filed by cemetery staff, something that is going to at some point come out and be made public, I believe, because the cemetery, you know, does confirm the report's filed and says, quote, federal law prohibits political campaign or election related activities within the Army National Military Cemeteries to include photographers, content creators, or any other persons attending for purposes or in direct support of a partisan political candidate's campaign. Arlington National Cemetery reinforced and widely shared this law and its prohibitions with all participants. And Trump's team mocked it and went ahead and used Arlington National Cemetery as a photo op. Any veteran who still supports Trump after this, come see me. We need to talk.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The upcoming three-day weekend could bring some market volatility. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you on a Friday. We're talking with market advisor John Heinberg from Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. I asked John if traders get antsy for a long holiday weekend just like the rest of us. He put it bluntly, a three-day summer weekend might mean some swings in the market as everyone looks to head out the door.
Very much so. Three-day weekends bring a lot of volatility sometimes because traders don't know exactly what's going to happen in the headline front over, you know, a three-day period. You'll see some money flowing around in terms of position squaring going into that weekend. A lot of times if you have a tough week going into it, they'll square things up and not even be here on Friday. Things can get very choppy. So three-day weekends just takes a little bit of risk sometimes because you just don't know what's going to happen over the news over a three-day period.
John Heinberg is a market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. Don't go anywhere. We'll take a look at more agribusiness news next.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Dan Sheps?
Harv Extra has been very consistent on our test results from first crop through fourth crop. The higher quality has allowed us to feed more alfalfa haylage in our diet, and cows are able to have a higher intake with a higher quality forage.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Riley Lapenka?
Making hay has changed so much now with Harv Extra alfalfa. You don't have to be tied down to a certain cutting window. That saves us a lot of headache, a lot of cost, wear and tear on machinery, you name it. I don't see any farm that it wouldn't work. Any kind of operation, if you have 10 cows, 10,000, it doesn't matter.
What does life on the cutting edge mean for alfalfa growers? Flexibility, yield, or quality? Harv Extra alfalfa with Roundup Ready technology gives you an extra edge every time you harvest. Hear grower stories at harvextra.com.
Tractor Supply Company and the Wisconsin 4-H Foundation have teamed up again for the Paper Clover campaign. For every $1 paper clover sold at a Wisconsin Tractor Supply, 90 cents comes to the Wisconsin 4-H Foundation. The other dime supports the National 4-H Council. When can you start buying clovers? The campaign runs October 2nd through the 13th. In other news, the Wisconsin Farmers Union is hosting harvest-themed meals around the state. You are invited to enjoy local food from popular area chefs. The first harvest dinner is September 7th in northern Wisconsin in Spooner. You can look at the entire calendar and find tickets at wisconsinfarmersunion.com. I know it's Friday, but that doesn't mean that the farm and agribusiness news has to stop here. You can follow along with us at MidwestFarmReport.com around the clock for all of your farm news needs and download our app at thefarmwi.com. I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes, just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Mayor Brian Kennedy of Glendale.
I've heard Republicans say this is a coup. Nobody voted for Kamala Harris. Yeah, when I voted for Joe Biden in the primaries, I was voting for Kamala Harris to be his vice presidential running mate. In this case, Joe Biden stepped aside. We nominated Kamala Harris.
I think it's a little bit like the Dodgers complaining that the Braves starting pitcher who injured his shoulder yesterday isn't starting today.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Co-founder of the Lincoln Project, Rick Wilson.
Trump is now pre-gaming for Republican elections boards at the county and state levels across this country to try to put their thumb on the scale for Trump. And if they don't win on that front, they may resort to violence again, which is why at the Lincoln Project, our goal is not to beat Trump. Our goal is to beat Trump like a rented mule. Our goal is to beat Trump so bad that his bruises have bruises.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
It is going to be a really nice Labor Day today. Mostly sunny, 74 this afternoon. The wind out of the south at only around 5. Tonight, clear, 52. Tomorrow, sunshine, 76. Then on Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high right around 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of Eau Claire, 93.5 The Tap, and on the Civic Media app. Matinaire on Air.
You know, Greg Bach, I think it is time I need a little time away.
Jane, are you going on vacation?
Yes, I am going on vacation. I feel confident. You're going to do a great job. You got Calvin.
Wait, I'm hosting?
Yes, dear, you're going to be hosting.
I thought you were taking me with you. Okay, I guess I will host the show in your stead. Thank you very much.
I trust you.
Matinaire on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The backseat. Check the backseat.
Gets in your head, right? Good, because every year dozens of children are forgotten in the backseat. Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. So get it in your head. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up for Maggie and the Millionaires, we'll be talking with Saru Jayaraman. We'll also check in with Dr. Ben Weston, medical advisor to Milwaukee County, and Chef Adam Pavla.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's electric!
We are back on Up North News Radio and getting back into the swing of things with our routine, which includes checking on news about our climate and who's looking to protect it, who's looking to undermine it. Stark differences were apparent at the two political conventions. They are behind us now, but let's cover that and more as we always do on Wednesday mornings with Melissa Baldoff. Melissa, how are you?
I am doing well, thanks. How are you?
Doing well here too. Thank you very much. Heard you had a nice vacation and were able to unplug from the political news. So first off, good for you.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it was great to unplug for a little bit and spend a little time in nature. My family and I headed to Denver for a few days where we got to, we visited Rocky Mountain National Park and Garden of the Gods. You know, just being in nature and, you know, exploring some of, you know, some of our beautiful natural resources was a great reminder of why it's so important to be fighting to protect our natural resources and our climate and our planet for future generations. So it was a great reminder now that I'm back to it of why this work is so important.
But you also came back to it to temperatures that were again in the 90s. Heat index readings were in the hundreds. Just as kids are going back to school, it's just a reminder that there is still plenty of work to be done, not just to stop contributing to the problem, but to mitigate the problems that are already created when you've got so many hot days in a row in school districts, for example.
Absolutely. Kids are in some places headed back to school. Many of those schools do not have air conditioning. So, you know, that's really unfortunate. And it also, though, is a good reminder that, there are things that can be done and there are resources available for school districts, around the state, around the country to take advantage of. The Inflation Reduction Act provides resources for schools to use direct pay funding to pay for clean energy upgrades that would make those buildings more energy efficient, cleaner, cooler, safer, healthier, and save them some money on those operating costs. And that's money that can go right back into the classroom. So, that's an important thing that folks should be thinking about looking into. No matter where you are in Wisconsin, this is money that's available to any and every school district.
And for folks who weren't listening on Monday morning, Selena Heller was on playing some audio from an official with the Black River Falls School District. And there she was with him up on the roof of the school looking at the new solar panels that were put there. Again, thanks to the Biden-Harris Inflation Reduction Act, which would upfront the money so that schools could then save money and taxpayers could save money down the road on the installation of these things. So be sure to check out Selena Heller's story at upnorthnewswi.com or the video version of her story on the Up North News social media sites. So, yeah, again, school districts, there's a lot that they can do there. Let's turn our attention now over to the convention, the Democratic convention. And the interesting headline there that in the New York Times from Kamala Harris, new strategy, equate fighting climate change with freedom. And there has been a lot of discussion about the patriotic attitude that you saw at the Democratic convention, where people see real and existential threats to America in the form of people that would want to bring in authoritarian governments and, tear down so much of, the social safety net and the administrative state that keeps things, safe. And so for Kamala Harris to talk about what are called the fundamental freedoms at stake this November, she's not just talking about reproductive choice, but she's also talking about being able to have the freedom to breathe clean air, to drink clean water, and live free from the pollution that fuels the climate crisis. Melissa, we've talked about this subject many different ways. Putting it in the frame of freedom strikes me as something that can be rather effective with swing voters.
I absolutely agree. And, that's something I have seen, not this particular framing, this exact way, but I've seen in polling when talking about climate change previously, that idea of letting people be in charge of their own destiny when it comes to clean energy, people talking about energy freedom, about people having the choice to make, the freedom to make their own choices about their energy consumption is a very popular idea. So I think taking that to a much bigger, taking that to a grander scale, to say, this is about an opportunity to have the freedom to breathe clean air, drink clean water, and live free from pollution, I think is an incredibly smart way to frame this, this way of thinking. And I also really appreciated one of the, messages delivered at the convention from Representative Maxwell Frost from Florida, who's the youngest member of Congress, who said that fighting the climate crisis is patriotic. And I agree. What could be more patriotic than fighting to, protect our natural resources, protect the land that we live on, the water that we drink, the air that we breathe, to keep it safe and healthy for our children and our grandchildren and our future generations. And I think that is, you know, something that, you know, maybe Democrats have not always embraced quite as much as we could have in the past, that, you know, that idea of patriotism. And I certainly would never suggest that that we haven't actually felt it and meant it. But I really have enjoyed seeing that, you know, more forward messaging around the idea of patriotism, and that, you know, protecting our natural resources, protecting the planet, being good stewards of the earth, that is very patriotic. And it is about giving people freedom and allowing them to use that freedom. So I really think it is a very smart messaging choice. I think that's one, it's one that really resonates with people, and it lets them, you know, really, it really lets them, you know, connect to that message in the way that that is most resonant to them, right? And what it means to them. So it can mean a lot of things to a lot of people, and they get to make that choice for themselves.
I would add in there as well, there's a freedom to speak the truth and not have to deal with the way that Donald Trump, for example, continues to call the changing climate a hoax that can simply be addressed by, you know, saying drill, baby, drill enough times and being in absolute denial of what's happening all around the earth. But it's not only the, you know, the freedom frame that's out there for the voters, but that of a choice as well. Whether it's the choice, again, of your health care, but also the choice of what kind of natural resources you want, and the choice of what kind of economy you want. Do you want an economy that's based on drilling for more oil and gas, or do you want an economy that is based on all the jobs growth that is going to come in these clean energy sectors? One certainly seems to have a longer horizon of potential than the other, Melissa, when people are thinking about, you know, the long-term economic choices they're making.
Absolutely. And, you know, I would definitely say, you know, some of the, you know, the critics and the, you know, opponents on the other side, you know, here, they, you know, they want to say, you know, that, you know, that Democrats and that, you know, specifically that Vice President Harris, you know, that by, you know, favoring some of the environmental policies, by supporting, you know, wind and solar and EVs, that, you know, it runs a risk in, you know, Rust Belt states or with moderate voters. But, you know, I think that, you know, kind of the proof is in the pudding here when you see that the Inflation Reduction Act has created more than 100,000 new manufacturing jobs. So these are jobs that are going to be jobs of the future that are going to be here to stay and that are going to be those good paying family supporting jobs that we're talking about. You know, we're not talking about building an economy, you know, on the backs of, you know, workers that are paid low wages anymore. We are talking about building a middle class economy where everyone can succeed, everyone can thrive, everyone can get ahead. And that really, I think, you know, kind of builds on that theme of freedom, where everyone has the freedom in the kind of economy that we're building for. Everyone has the freedom to, you know, to be successful and to support their family and to live a good life. So, you know, that's, I think, another, you know, another part of this. You know, the old way of doing things, you know, might have been great for those at the very top. But, you know, despite the promises you know, Republicans, like that wasn't trickling down to very many people. So we really need to build that, you know, our economy, you know, from the bottom up and the middle out, going from the top down wasn't working. And what we're seeing from a lot of these policies in the Inflation Reduction Act and in, you know, these other infrastructure bills that have, you know, gone along to support the Inflation Reduction Act is these are creating those jobs that will grow our middle class.
And by the way, when people say, well, you know, where are all these 100,000 jobs coming from? They're coming from, in a report by the American Clean Power Association, so far the announcement of the construction of more than 160 domestic manufacturing facilities and $500 billion of new investment in that, in all sorts of fields. Again, you've got everything from solar to hydrogen to more efficient transmission, wind, and so much more. And I'll end, Melissa, on a slight note of frustration. But again, as we've talked about with Mark Jacob repeatedly on Fridays, the New York Times just seems to have an issue here. And in this case, it's the issue of, well, Vice President Harris has not really laid out any details of her climate policy. Hello, she's been the vice president. She has a 4-year administrative record on the climate. She campaigned for president and talked about holding polluters accountable. I really don't think that particular talking point should take off. I don't doubt that anybody knows where Vice President Harris stands on climate issues compared to, say, I don't know, Donald Trump.
I absolutely agree. I think everyone, it's very clear where Vice President Harris stands. I think that as, you know, and her campaign is still pretty new. And I think that she will absolutely offer over time here a little bit of distinction on, you know, anything that she might, you know, want to see different or do differently in the future. But I expect that she is going to want to build on the legacy that President Biden, you know, has laid out here and build on the successes that they have already set out together. So I think that there is a great path and a great plan in place for the vice president when she becomes president. And I think that she will also work with partners and work with hopefully some Democratic majorities to build on that progress, to build on that legacy, and to see new successes come in the future. And I have full faith that she'll do that. I don't have full faith in some of our friends in the media, including the folks at the New York Times, to give her a little grace in laying out additional details. You know, they're giving her a hard time when, you know, we still don't even have a healthcare plan from Donald Trump, and he's been, you know, running for president for almost a decade now. But, you know, so it goes.
Yeah, so it goes. And again, the usual caveat that any candidate can have any kind of plan they want. It really comes down to what can you get through Congress. And so we will also have to see what a President Harris would deal with if she wins in both the House and the Senate. More to come. Melissa Baldoff, as always, thanks for helping us do our climate check for this week.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
When you think about Labor Day and what it means, do you think about Wisconsin? You should, but let's go back to explain. In the mid-1800s, activists pushed for a day to recognize workers' contributions. President Grover Cleveland signed a law in 1894 making the first Monday of every September a national holiday. So where did the first labor union form in Wisconsin? Wausau? Green Bay? Milwaukee? The answer coming up. The Badger State has an impressive history. Bricklayers and carpenters formed unions in the 1840s and were the first to push for workers' compensation and unemployment insurance. Now, did you guess? This all happened first in Milwaukee. The state's labor unions formed in 1847. The National Labor Union didn't form until 1866, 19 years later. Leading the way for other states is this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Pat Kreitlow's Karaoke Hour. It's going to start with Looking Glass's Brandy, which hit number one this day in 1972. Welcome to today's history lesson. Selena Heller joins us now from Up North News. Miss Heller, how are you?
Good morning. I'm good. It's a hot day coming up.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, I was taking the trash cans out this morning, and I was like a goldfish. It was so thick out there. I was like, where's the air? It's nothing but water out here. It's a little humid.
Got to water the plants, though. I got to remember to do that today.
Yes. Yep. Happy anniversary, women who would like to vote. The 19th Amendment took effect on
women
this day.
Women who would like to vote?
Yes. Well, the rest of you who would like to repeal that right, no happy anniversary to you, okay?
Hey, a big anniversary to you lady voters out there. Good job.
Yeah. There's just something about a six-year-old man going, ladies. So, no. Happy anniversary, ladies. The 19th Amendment took effect this day in 1920. On this day in 1935, Geraldine Ferraro, who is the running mate for Walter Mondale, first woman to be a running mate on a major ticket, was born. She passed away back in 2011. The late Leon Redbone was born this day in 1949. You get to hear him every year at the holidays. In this case, with Zooey Deschanel from the movie Elf.
But baby, it's cold.
Now people are like, oh yeah, that guy, that voice, yes.
She doesn't have bangs anymore. It's weird.
I know.
She doesn't look like herself anymore.
Nope. No, trust me, none of us do. I've got the pictures to prove it.
Fair point.
Valerie Simpson, we mentioned, is 78 today. Branford Marsalis is 64. Mother Teresa was born this day in 1910. And then this is an important birthday. Katherine Johnson. She was born this day in 1918. I've seen lots of clips, but I've never actually seen the movie or read the book Hidden Figures. Kristen or Selena, you have?
No. Seen the movie.
She's the physician and mathematician profiled in the book and the movie, the Oscar-nominated film from 2016, who did did much of the math for early NASA flights with trajectory and things like that. She was awarded the National Medal of Freedom by President Obama in 2015, and then she passed away in 2020 at the age of 101, but she was born on this day 106 years ago. Shirley Manson of Garbage is 58 years old today. Sometimes you just want to let the song play.
Yeah.
Just listen.
You know, that's a Madison band.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. Yep. Oh, yeah. We've spoken at length about them seeing Shirley on a UK TV show of some sort and saying, get out of Scotland, girl. Get to Madison.
Mm-hmm.
And
love it.
The rest is history. Melissa McCarthy is 54 years old today. Comedian John Mulaney is 42. Kiki Palmer is 31. Now, you're not going to believe these birthdays. These two were born the same day, okay? Chris Pine, the actor, is 44. He's the same age, born the same day as Macaulay Culkin, who is 44 today.
Oh.
I would say they peaked at different times in their Hollywood career as Greg makes the face with the hands on the cheeks. Ah! 44 years old today. Seal had the number one song this day in 1995.
Sing it, everyone.
From the movie Batman Forever, number one song this day, 1995. I think rates really low on the whole list of Batman movies. That was one with Val Kilmer and
yes.
Nicole Kidman.
Correct.
And Tommy Lee Jones and Jim Carrey.
Yes.
I'm going to say I haven't seen them all. I haven't seen all the Batman movies. That one probably still is my favorite one of the ones that I've seen.
The thing that's really good about that one, I find fun, is that the
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matinee on Air.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we sit down and talk to labor leaders from all over Wisconsin for our Labor Day celebration. Please join us and happy Labor Day.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Sportsmen in the Valley know that when it comes to success in the outdoors, you need to depend on a trusted partner like Bill's Sports Shop in Chippewa Falls. With over 50 years of family ownership and expertise in rod and reel repair, you know you'll never let the big one get away. Bill's is local, and that means their knowledge takes the guesswork out of everything you'll need for fishing, like fresh live bait now in stock. Bill's Sports Shop appreciates the local support. Join their Bill's Sports Shop group on Facebook and share your favorite fish pics and videos.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
See.